So when someone asks me, you know, what were the younger children doing while you were teaching the older one, my answer always is, what were the older ones doing when I was taking care of the little ones?
Welcome to Radio Free School.
I'm Marty Lane, and I am the author of a book called Learning at Home, A Mother's Guide to Homeschooling, which is in its second edition, soon to be in another edition because I'm almost out. And I have four children who are now 29, 27, 23, and 20, and they all learned at home. My oldest son is a professional musician. He's a harpist, and he has three recordings, solo harp CDs. He plays classical music. My second son is a visual artist, and he has paintings in various galleries, one in California and one here in Victoria, BC. And he also sells from his website. And then my third son is a percussionist. He plays all kinds of different things, marimba, vibraphone, and hand drums. And he and his brother Josh have a Christmas recording of a harp and marimba together, a beautiful combination. And my daughter is a dancer, and she's just finishing her training and auditioning for dance companies.
In the book, you do talk about relationships and keeping them strong and healthy, because it is hard to be with children. It can be hard, right?
It can be hard.
You can get burnout.
You can get burnout. But the thing that's, in many ways, when people say, you know, how could you possibly do this with four children every single day? But when everyone is together, you do have to manage to work out how to relate to each other, because you have no choice in many ways. You're there every day. And it was just realizing that. And whenever I would be overwhelmed by people's needs, I would either look them in the eyes and remember, oh, I love you. Or I would also go outside. I found that changing location helped all of us to feel a little calmer. And for me, going outside was a big part of doing that.
And that means with everybody, going outside?
Yes, sometimes with everybody. As children got older, I might just go outside with one child and we go run around the house. But when they were little, I would take everybody out. And living in Victoria, it's nice. We don't have winter, so we could actually go outside. I'm not sure what you do if there's lots of snow and everything, because
you go outside.
It takes a long time to get ready to go outside.
That's true.
Whereas here, you can just put on a jacket and some boots and out the door you go. But yes, going outside was a big help. And the other thing that I found really helpful when I felt really stressed was just to sit down and start reading to my children. That was Richard Scarry. His books would appeal to everybody, even a 10-year-old down to a 2-year-old. And his humor would make me remember, it's not really that serious, it's not really that difficult. It's all right, I can breathe. And reading the story really helped that.
In a way, you're taking care of the family. Did you do anything just to take care of yourself? Was that important, that you had some time?
That I had time
off? Yeah.
That's always such an interesting question, because really what I was doing for myself was being a mother at home. Which, for many people, and especially right now, that seems like you're not doing anything for yourself. But I really wanted to be a mom, and I really wanted to be at home with my children. So I would remind myself I was doing that. At the same time, I was also a volunteer La Leche League leader. So I would do different things depending upon how well my children could cope with either coming with me to meetings or listening to me help people on the phone. I would either lead a meeting or then I moved into doing work that required correspondence instead of going places. And I found that very satisfying for me and had good friendships that way. Friendships were the other thing that were really helpful.
Right, because, you know, I'm thinking that sometimes it is unhealthy to have a total focus on kids, isn't it?
Yes. Well, the other thing for me, not just the reading to my children, but I read a lot myself. I probably read way more than I should. I probably should sleep more than I end up sleeping. Instead, I do a lot of reading. That was my way to nourish myself, was through novels. When I had my children, I basically wanted to have four only children, and that I wanted to meet each of their needs totally. But there's no way you can do that with four, and actually, if you only have one, you probably can't do it either. So it would be looking and seeing, okay, what is the most important thing? And probably I tended to the younger children's needs before the older ones, figuring that I had met those needs when the older ones were younger. And so when someone asks me, you know, what were the younger children doing while you were teaching the older one, my answer always is, what were the older ones doing when I was taking care of the little ones? So it's doing that. And I found it really helpful. We had toys in our living room area so that people would play. My children would just sort of follow me. If I was in the kitchen, they'd come in the kitchen. I'd set up paint on the table, and they'd be painting, and I'd try to clean up the kitchen. Or we would move to another room, and I would, I don't think I ever dusted very much, but if I did, people would be helping me. And then we would just sit on the floor and play, build with blocks or do puzzles. That way, the older ones were sort of with the little ones and helping. But, you know, it's a bit of a blur, but I did find it helpful just sort of to slow down and breathe and look at each child. I think when you're thinking about homeschooling at the same time that you have too many children, it feels like, and they're little, and how are you going to do this? You have to remember that children actually absorb a lot of information when you're not even aware of it. And once I realized that teachable moments are not really something that I have to worry about, it all seemed to go a little more easily. My children learned all kinds of things. I'm not quite sure how or where or from whom, but they did. I mean, yes, we talked together, we read together, we did math problems together, but I didn't sit down and teach them, so in many ways I would call what I did unschooling, although I'm not particularly fond of that term.
Why
like
not?
That?
Yeah.
Well, it just sounds like how can one unschool a child who has never been to school? So I guess it's looking at how children learn. So I felt more that I was supporting their learning rather than unschooling them.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had an interest in something, I would try to help them find out more about that interest. When somebody showed an interest in something, well, because I have two sons who are close together in age, they tended to like some of the same things. So if they really liked baseball, then I read lots and lots of stories about baseball. We had lots of discussions about baseball. They played baseball. Mm-hmm. So they learned a lot through that activity. My daughter just came along for the ride.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
I noticed that you talk a lot about the discussion. I find that is very important with kids that don't have formal kind of structured learning, just to have that.
Yes, conversation. And asking questions. I teach parent education classes right now. I teach baby massage and songs and finger plays and things. And because I'm so used to people here in my house when they were growing up questioning things that I said and pointing out that I was making erroneous statements that were not supported by fact, I am very aware of how rarely adults actually question anything. Whereas for my children, it was, well, how did someone figure this out? Why is this true? And not just a 3-year-old why, but a thoughtful 14, 15-year-old looking at, so 80% of people do this. Well, who discovered this and how did they do that? So really a lot of thinking.
How about creating the environment that you want for your kids to grow up in?
Creating the environment, yes. A friend of mine teaches at the University of Victoria. She's in the education department teaching teachers, and she asked me to come and speak. So I did, and I followed a presentation about Montessori, and as I listened to the tail end of that, I realized that I am really more or less Montessori-based in the sense that Montessori puts a tremendous emphasis on environment. So I used to teach preschool, to nursery schools, and for me, having things for children to play with, things for children to do, and easy access to those things, and an easy place to store those things when they're finished playing with them was really important. So that's why in our living room and in our den, we had shelves that were filled with various toys, and most of the toys that we had were toys that were able to be used in more than one way, so that would include blocks, like wooden blocks or Lego blocks, Duplo blocks, little people, little animals, my son said lots of cars and trucks, stuffed animals, things that could lead to imaginary play, and dress-up clothes.
And of course, and outdoors.
They had the outdoors. We were very fortunate to live in a place that had a lot of space around it so they could go out and play. Even if you don't have access to your own yard, you can still go to parks and enjoy that kind of thing. I grew up in apartments, and my mom always would take us to parks. That was a really good way for me to be in touch with the earth, even though I didn't have my own backyard. She would make sure that we were outside in nature. But it's really important to try, if you're home with them all day, to get out, go on a bus, go to the park, or walk. I know it's not easy, but it just helps everyone to be connected to the earth. And I think that sort of connection and being outside and allowing children to just play. My children climbed trees. We had swings, but mostly they created their play spaces outside.
Now, how about the children? What kind of feedback are they giving you now that they're grown up?
Well, of course, the thing is when someone asks, how did you like homeschooling, they have nothing to compare it to because they didn't go to school. Just like anything, of course, there are things that they didn't like and things that they liked.
But did they go to any institution or is it all?
No, my third son has gone on to post-secondary education. He went to a school in California for a year to intensely study music, and then the last 2 years he's been studying at Vancouver Community College. And that was his first introduction to writing an essay and everything else. And he did very well because he's a writer and he enjoys that kind of thing. But he felt that a lot of the time he would rather just be working on his music on his own, but he decided to finish this and get a diploma. And my other two sons, what they've been doing, my son who's a harpist has been studying, but he's been studying with a private teacher and working. And my son who's a visual artist has basically been self-taught, looking at lots of books, looking at how other people teach, and just thinking and observing. And my daughter's been in a dance program where certainly she's learned a lot about anatomy. And they're all people who, when they decide they want to learn something, are very able to focus on learning it and retain things in ways that I know I don't, because I tend to read information and forget it very quickly.
That's interesting. Maybe it's because they've never been forced to kind of have to remember stuff.
Well, that's my theory. Let's see if it's true or not. I think it's hard to tell at this moment in time just what the benefits of homeschooling are, other than it seems like they know who they are and they know what it is they really enjoy doing. And not all children who have been at home find a passion. Mine were very lucky to know what it is they were very passionate about. And we'll see how that carries on. But not everybody who homeschools necessarily finds a passion. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But I think from the people that I've met and known who have been learning at home, they seem to have an ability to know what it is they want to do when they start doing something. And if that's not working for them, they're able to switch. They can think beyond the borders of whatever they've been put into. That whole idea of critical thinking and thinking outside the box. And I'm sort of used to people being able to do that, so it's always a surprise to me when I run into children or adults who don't think that way.
Yeah. Talk about challenges.
I think one of my biggest challenges was to not worry. And, you know, perhaps from the book sometimes it might seem that I didn't worry, but I do worry. I think part of parenting is worrying.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what kind of education you choose for your child, you're going to worry. But I think if I could go back, I would tell myself, it's okay. Relax and laugh. And we did do a lot of laughing. Whenever I'd feel really overwhelmed, I would try to remember to breathe and to laugh and to look into my children's eyes and then feel better. But the challenge, the basic challenge, was just to remember that this time is going to go by quickly and not to worry.
Maintaining a harmony in the home with kids, I mean, were your kids harmonious together? Like, I hear other people saying their kids
have a hard time
tend
together.
To quarrel or being around each other a lot.
Sometimes there was quarreling, but as they grew older, that went away because they learned how to work with each other and recognize that they were here. Often, especially in the early years, like until they're about 8 or 9, you know, it's hard to keep your emotions from determining how you're going to act. And it just needed consistent sort of, no, you know, in our household we have the rule and there's no hitting or biting or hurting anyone physically and there's no calling of names. And just trying to help everyone follow those particular rules, that made it so that it was a fairly calm household after people reached about the age of 8 or 9. My children, they enjoy each other's company and spent a lot of time together. And in ways that it's hard for siblings who are at school to realize how much fun a sibling can be.
Okay, maybe something about your book.
Yes, well, people seem to enjoy what I have to say. And I think that one of the things that being at home with my children helped me to have was a sense of humbleness. I'll just quote from chapter 9 of my book that I've got on the back of my book. Teaching a child at home requires time, patience, and love. It requires humbleness, a willingness to wait, and a deep trust in the natural process of growth, your child's and your own. At any one moment, it may seem as though learning is not taking place. Then all of a sudden, like the sun coming out from behind a cloud, the newfound knowledge shines. It was that I kept trying to remind myself of.
Yeah, and you just mentioned growing. It's not only the kids who are growing, I find.
No, it's everyone's growing.
Yeah.
We grow in our understanding. And being at home with children allows you actually to look at your own childhood in a much more intense way than if they weren't at home all the time. And it's kind of a fun thing. And I imagine that the next step, should my children ever have grandchildren, is just one more look at those childhood years and see how much they determine and have an impact on your adult life. My book, Learning at Home, A Mother's Guide to Homeschooling, and people can order it from my website at Marty Lane, and that's MartyLayne.com.
Go back to those cold sounds and keep my advent to yourself, because it's nothing I don't like. Is it a crisis or a boring change when it's central, so essential? Coming to the chorus now. I keep my address to yourself, 'cause we need secrets. We need secrets, secrets back right now. Because I never want to make you feel that you're so sure, never ignorant, so believe it.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
Movie reveal.
Superman.
Mm-hmm.
What year is it?
1950-something?
I like Superman.
He rescues people. He's cool. Daddy brought the CDs, and we liked them a lot.
So Daddy brought them into the house?
Yep.
Yeah.
And we loved them. All we watch now is Superman.
I thought it was interesting. I saw it on the internet that they had the first season of Superman on DVD. So I got it from the library because I used to like fly around my house when I was a kid with my towel pinned around my neck. My mom would pin the towel for me and I would go zooming around. And I just, you know, I was sort of fascinated to see with my adult eyes what fascinated me so much when I was a kid. So I thought, you know, like having seen some of the episodes, I don't remember most of them at all. Maybe I didn't even see those ones before, but there's a certain charm to the Superman character. I don't know what it is. It's sort of innocent in a weird way, even though there's stuff I would critique, you know, truth, justice in the American way is sort of a weird statement.
Justice
right?
In the American way!
How does it go, Amanda?
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman! His real name is Clark Kent. He's a newspaper reporter. I bet he just wanted to do newspaper reporters so that he can know the news so he can save people. And he works for the Daily Planet.
Yeah. Funny how even things like his disguise is like he puts on glasses. And
he wears his glasses
on. He puts on the glasses and no one recognizes him as
and
Superman.
And a hat and a suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. Hi, I'm Superman, and I'm going to come and save everybody and be a newspaper reporter and save everybody in the whole entire Earth.
Great so, Caesar's ghost, Bronwyn!
In the Haunted Lighthouse, Daddy?
Yeah.
Remember how Jimmy's grandma, remember? When she saw, first she had seen Superman, then she saw Clark Kent. And then she was like, that looks like... And then he's like, shh, look at that. Mm-hmm.
Hey, we forgot one other important person.
Who? Lois Lane. She's a newspaper reporter, too. And there's Jimmy Olsen. He's a newspaper reporter, too. And there's Perry White, the editor. I like Perry White.
Yeah. Great Caesar's ghost.
Can you describe how Lois is?
I don't know. It's black and white, so I can't describe the hair.
Her character. How's Lois?
She's braver than me, that's all I have to say. She's brave, she screams, and she doesn't listen to Superman sometimes because she doesn't want her baby to sit around in the house. And then she said one time, I promise, about to Superman. Yeah. Then she said like nothing. So she's promising nothing.
Can you solve the mysteries as they go on?
Yeah, sometimes, but it's in a half an hour show. He punches people out, Superman, to save other people. And once Lois Lane got put in a cage.
Well, that's another thing, looking back, what's that, like 50 years ago? I guess when the show was made. The world maybe seemed like simpler in some ways. Simpler and definitely in the special effects field of things. Yeah, when he flies, it's kind of cheesy, right? To watch him fly and swing in the window. But despite the poor technical side of things, I mean, I don't think the technical was really part of it. Sort of like part of the charm is that it's so not technical, that it's so obviously not real. But yet, you know, everyone wants to believe in Superman, right? But, I mean, as far as patriarchy, racism, all those other things, that's for another time. But just at some level, it's just quite enjoyable to watch someone you know, come and save the day, you know?
Mm-hmm. I hate the animated one. I saw a little bit of it. But it's just, I like the old ones. That's what we watch. Not the animated ones. Just to get that clear. Most people only know about the animated ones. But the original ones are a lot better, I can assure you. They're just more, they're real and they're kind of nature. They didn't have a lot of technology and he looks okay. He doesn't look like some big sardine. That's what I depict him.
Spider-Man's boring.
What are you?
I've watched it.
Uh-huh. The animated one?
It was had colors.
Mm-hmm. What's the charm?
But why did it's just like interesting. I just like it.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting. Suspense.
I was saying downstairs that the movie reminds me of like Nancy Drew's and
doesn't remind me of it. They don't have Hardy any Boys. Magic in Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys.
But doesn't that remind you like the way that the good guys always win?
Not particularly.
Bad guys always get what they...
Not particularly.
And Superman?
Sometimes the good people die as well in those things.
Mm-hmm. But in the end, the bad guys get paid out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is kind of nice, right?
Yeah. That's not really why I like it. I just like it.
Okay. How about the other news reporter, Lois?
Oh, she's really fun because she's like... She's just kind of... Would you say vivacious?
Vivacious.
Vivacious. Yeah. Yes, she's vivacious. She's going and just doing things. She just has her own way. Mm-hmm. She doesn't listen to other people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they tell her to go do something like that, you'll risk your life. Of course she's going to go, but...
Yeah. What do you think about the funny get-up she's always wearing?
Oh, she's... It's kind of silly. But one time, and she's like, when we get back, the Daily Planet owes me some new shoes. A new pair of shoes. Cause she's wearing high-heeled shoes. Mm-hmm. Skirt. One of those little silly skirts.
Handbag.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. Silly little hat. Yeah. It's quite amazing that she can do all that stuff. I doubt she would really be able to in real life. I would just take off my shoes. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky! It's a bird! It's a plane! It's Superman! Yes, it's Superman. What, Ronwin?
I'm
going
to train...
You're messing up a little.
Planet.
Visitor came from a distant planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far more than those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel with his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a huge metropolis newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
I like the beginning.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.